Months ago, our elders were talking at an elder meeting about bringing Chris Cheek, the director of Maranatha Camps, down to let us know about the ministry, to even bring the word in our series here in Timothy. And he graciously accepted that offer. Well, little did we know or he know at the time that this whole thing with the coronavirus would come down. So we're still going to have Chris on today, and we look forward to hearing what he shares with us from Timothy, 1 Timothy. But I just want you to understand that he's going to be filming this in the North Platte area. So if the background looks a little different, you'll know what's up. He's filming in a different place, but it's intended for you, Sterling Berean. And so I just want to introduce you to Chris. We look forward to hearing what he shares with us from the Word, but also sharing with us specifically what's going on at Maranatha. And I want you to be prayerfully considering things that he says. Maybe there's some things that we can do as a church family or you individually. So we look forward to hearing from Chris this morning. Chris, welcome to Sterling Berean.
Well, good morning. This is Chris Cheek, the executive director out at Maranatha Bible Camp, and it is a pleasure to be with you through video, actually, today. It's kind of funny. A year ago, I was supposed to be with you guys in person, and I was stranded out here at Maranatha with the blizzard that we had last spring. And this year, I'm stranded out here because of a virus, so who would have known? But it's just great to still be able to connect with you, to share God's word with you this morning and give you an update of how Maranatha is doing and how we're responding to the times that we're living in. Thank you for praying for us as a ministry. Maranatha, obviously, over the years has been a strong partner and vice versa with Sterling Berean. And so it's just a privilege to be able to be with you and just communicate our appreciation, our thankfulness for that relationship with Sterling Berean. You can imagine we're up to some different things this spring. We've had to suspend all of our programs and events like many other ministries have. And our staff has been busy doing preparations for summer. We've been doing spring cleaning, cleaning buildings and carpets, painting things, and just trying to stay busy while living out here on the Bible camp. You can pray for our staff. You know, we live in a unique situation where we all live on site with 20 to 25 other staff. And so we do have that community still to enjoy together, but obviously needing to be careful, you know, with the spread of the virus and that sort of thing, but still enjoy the relationships that our camp staff have with one another. We're so thankful that the church at Sterling supports Alicia Larson. You know, she's been through some health issues. We're thankful to have her back at camp as our finance manager. And she's just a part of the team that's getting ready for hopefully just an awesome summer of ministry ahead, Lord willing. Be praying for us just financially, you know, as a ministry, just like any other for-profit or nonprofit entity. There's just the struggle that, you know, you go a few months without revenue through program registrations, and it can have a significant impact on the ministry. So just appreciate your prayers for our staff and then just the overall health financially of Maranatha. But again, more than anything, just want to say we appreciate the partnership with Sterling Berean, and we couldn't do it without you. And God willing, we'll have a bunch of students and adults from your church here at Maranatha this summer. I want to share just a really neat letter I actually got from a single mom that was here last summer, and this testimony, I think, will just encourage you and speak to the mission of Maranatha. She says, "My family enjoyed our first Maranatha camp this last summer, and it continues to be a conversation in our home. As a single mom, I was hesitant about going to family camp. My experience, though, left me feeling strong and rooted and full. I continue to look back at my journal of that week to gain perspective. I hope this finds you and your staff well. I would enjoy discussing anything I could do to add even a perspective from a single parent for family camp ministry. Please feel free to reach out to me. Thank you for the blessings you've given to our family at Camp Maranatha." So just know that you're a part of testimonies like that. Your support to Maranatha and your just partnership with us, you get to celebrate with us stories, thousands of stories like that every year as our relationship with Maranatha continues forward. Well, Pastor Dan and Pastor Nate just asked if I would still not only share an update about Maranatha, but just go ahead and open up God's Word here by video and continue on in the study of 1 Timothy. And so we're going to be in chapter 1. If you've got your Bibles here this morning or whatever time it is that you happen to be watching this video, and let's go ahead and look at 1 Timothy chapter 1, and we'll start in verse 12. And I want to open with just the question of, when was the last time someone asked you to tell your story, your spiritual story? Or when was the last time you shared your testimony of salvation with someone? Because over the next few minutes, what we're going to do is we're going to familiarize ourselves with the Apostle Paul's spiritual story, his testimony here in 1 Timothy. And remember, Paul is writing to Timothy, his young disciple, and Paul's going to share his personal story of conversion to Christianity. And it's going to be a contrast to the false teachings and the empty religion that Timothy and the church in Ephesus were facing at that time. And last week, I'm sure you heard about some of the false doctrine that was being presented in the days that Paul and Timothy were living in, and the church there in Ephesus. So Paul's just going to unpack his story, his personal testimony. And I'm excited for us to look at it and be reminded of God's work in the life of the Apostle Paul. So let's start here. 1 Timothy 1, verse 12. I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who's given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. Verse 13. Even though I was once a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. The grace of our Lord Jesus was poured out on me abundantly, along with faith and the love that are in Christ Jesus. Verse 15. Here's a trustworthy saying that deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that very reason, I was shown mercy so that in me, the worst of sinners, Christ Jesus might display his immense patience as an example for those who would believe and receive eternal life. And then verse 17, now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. So as we begin to just unpack this passage of Paul's testimony, let me just open in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we're gathered by video. Maybe we're just with our family or by ourselves or with our small group. I pray, Lord, that even through this means, your word would be powerful and it would be sharper than a two-edged sword. And it would challenge us, it would encourage us, it would convict us. It would help us to grow in our own story, our own journey with Christ. So we just look to you this morning into the word. In Jesus' name, amen. So right off the bat, Paul says, I thank Christ who's given me strength, that he considered me trustworthy, appointing me to his service. So Paul, right at the beginning of his testimony, he wants to say, here's my position in Christ. Christ gives me strength. Christ considered Paul trustworthy, his calling. And then Christ appointed Paul to service, his assignment. And to sum it up, basically Paul says, Christ gets the credit. Christ is life. Christ is my life, Paul says. And so most of us listening, watching today would echo Paul's claim. Christ has given us strength. Christ has considered us trustworthy as his children. And Christ has appointed his followers to service. Every one of us would share Paul's position in Christ if you're a Christ follower. And notice that order. So right out of the gate, let's ask a few questions. Are we living this out? Are you looking for appointments of service? Do you understand that you've been appointed in service to Christ? Are you helping others discover their appointment to service? Are we serving through Christ's strength and our calling? And right out of the gate, Paul just wants to say, here's who I am in Christ. Before he gets into what he's done or who he was before Christ, Paul just starts with who he is in Christ. But I want to say, here's the key. Sometimes we think, hey, Lord, give me an opportunity to serve. I just wish, God, you provide some way for me to serve. And often in my life, and I know probably in yours too, it's only when we step out in faith and say, hey, I don't know if I'll be good at this. I don't know if I'll be a blessing to other people. I don't know if I can serve in this way. But you just put one foot in front of another and you begin to serve. And then just like that, Christ gives you his strength. You're enabled with his strength. But sometimes it's we need to take that first step in faith, by faith, in our service to our calling of what God's entrusted us to. So to recap, the first part of Paul's spiritual story here is Paul knows his position in Christ, his service to Christ, and where his strength comes from. So we're going to go on now to verse 13. Even though I was once a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. So second, Paul says, I know my sin. I know my past. I know what I used to be, which is such a key part to our testimony, our story, right? I am who I am because of Christ today, but here's who I was. Here's who I used to be. And Paul goes as far as naming his sin, right? Actually writing it down. He was a mocker of Christ. He was a persecutor and a murderer of Christians, God's children, a violent man, an ignorant man, an unbelieving man. Maybe some of us can relate to that too, right? And something really strikes me here. Paul unashamedly puts it all out there as he shares his testimony, his conversion story. These were no small acts, right, of willful sin. These were some biggies, right? Like persecuting and murdering some of the first Christians in the New Testament church. And if you're familiar with the Apostle Paul's writings elsewhere in the New Testament, he regrettably states these sins and this past that he had, who he used to be, multiple times, right? But then he says, multiple times, thanks be to God that I'm not under that condemnation anymore. I've been set free. But this is such, who Paul was such a powerful part of his personal testimony to the gospel. And it goes against everything the false teachers and the false religion were teaching. Because you see, false teachers and the religious leaders were saying, you know, maybe there is something that you can do to make God love you more with your performance. And Paul says, no, this isn't about a performance-based relationship with God. Paul says, I was dead in my transgressions and my sin. Here's who I was before Christ. So let's go on to verse 14. The grace of our Lord was poured out on me abundantly, along with faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. Paul says that God's love and grace and mercy overflowed abundantly and rescued him. God's love was more than sufficient to save him and turn his life around, even life of Paul. It reminds me of one of my favorite scriptures in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 18. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep the love of God is. Paul got it himself personally. That's his salvation story. And God in his mercy did not give Paul what he deserved. And God in his grace, he did give Paul what he did not deserve. And grace and mercy together are God's love in action. One of my favorite Bible scholars, he actually passed away just a couple of years ago, Warren Wiersbe, he said, mercy is not us receiving what we did deserve, and grace is us receiving what we did not deserve. Kind of a tongue twister, but they complement each other. God's mercy and his grace, it's a picture of God's love in action. And Paul, he said, more than anyone, I get it. I didn't deserve it. But God gave it to me anyway. So let's pause and ask a couple questions here. Where have you seen God's abundant grace and mercy in your life, His overflowing mercy in your life. You know, for me, I consider my marriage, my wife Natalie, my three beautiful children that I don't deserve, the work He's given me, the work of leading Maranatha Bible Camp, and this isn't my ministry. We're just stewarding God's ministry, His grace of giving us ministry and work to do with our hands. I think about my Christian heritage, multiple generations of Christ followers, people that didn't deserve to be saved, but turned to Christ in acceptance of His free gift of grace and are following the Lord. That Christian heritage I'm so thankful for. I think of God's mercy protecting me from sinful, life-altering choices in my past. But at the same time, I praise God for His grace and forgiveness of the sinful choices I have made in my past that I'll continue to make in the future, just like you. And so a part of our testimony is just asking that question and sharing it. Where have I seen God's abundant and overflowing grace and mercy? And these are key elements to our stories. Can you recount who you were before Christ? Or maybe you feel like, all I've known is Christ. I was practically born in the church nursery, and I got saved at Awana's when I was real young. I don't remember having a past apart from Christ. But maybe consider who you would be today if you didn't know Christ. Maybe some of you would literally say, I'm not sure if I'd be alive today if I didn't know Christ. Or who knows where I would be today. I look at the culture, I look at the temptations, I look at the ways of our world. I'm not sure who I'd be today apart from Christ. That's such a key element to your story, to the Apostle Paul as well, as he's sharing to Timothy in 1 Timothy here. Let's go on, verses 15 and 16. Here is a trustworthy saying, Paul says. It deserves full acceptance. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. But for that reason, I was shown mercy, so that in me, the worst of sinners, Paul says, Christ Jesus might display His immense patience as an example for those who would believe in Him and receive eternal life. So now Paul just lays it on the line. He lays it out there as clear as he can, the simple, tried and true gospel message. God's rescue plan for Paul. And God's rescue plan for humanity. You see, the false teacher and the false teaching in Paul's day, and in our day, it actually says, oh, don't be too hard on yourself, Paul. Write down all the good things about yourself so that you can build on those things. Right? That's kind of the psychology even of our culture today. Don't just call those things mistakes. No, Paul says, I've got some bad news. You can't build on sin. We need to build our lives on Christ. Christ came into the world to save sinners. That's not a real popular message today, right? But I think it's one that in people's heart of hearts, they know, I can't be good. I just can't. So there's got to be a solution. And Paul says, yeah, you can't build on sin. We need to build on Christ. The worst of sinners, the best of sinners, right? Some of us want all the negative effects of sin to go away in our life, but we don't want to really change who we are. And Paul says, that's not the gospel. That's not the gospel. It's doing a 180. It requires, as Paul said in verse 15, full acceptance. Here's who I was. Here's who I am in Christ. And then Paul goes on to say, and here's why God saved me. Right, he says in verse 16, essentially, he says, I'm the poster child for hope, right? Jesus Christ might display His perfect patience for me as an example to others. We often compare ourselves, don't we, to other strugglers and sinners. Well, Paul essentially says, if God can deal with me, the greatest of strugglers and evildoers, there's hope for anyone. Let's just think about this. Paul was a murderer of the children of God, the first generation of the New Testament church. Paul, for his entire life, probably no doubt struggled a little bit with that heinous evil. But Paul says, but this is what God did for me. Despite all of that, he forgave me. And not only that, he now considers me trustworthy in Christ and appointed me to his service in Christ's strength. Are you kidding me? None of us probably listening, watching here today would be guilty of that. But that's maybe the worst of sin, worst of sinners. And maybe you might feel like, hey, I have committed some big stuff, some biggies in my life. But perhaps you're here today saying, but you know what? God's forgiven me like he forgave the Apostle Paul. Or maybe you're here saying, and you're listening, you're watching, I'm still not sure God could use me. Well, Paul here, he says, hey, if God can forgive me, the worst of sinners, murdering the early New Testament church Christ followers, Paul says, there's hope for you. There's hope for me. So Paul knows there's only one way to God: repentance of sin, acceptance of grace in Christ alone. And then Paul closes his testimony with praise and worship, essentially. Look at verse 17 again. Now to the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Do you know who God is? He is not a conceived picture of an old bearded man, tired and worn out sometimes, that we see where maybe he's wringing his hands, wondering like, what's going to happen with the coronavirus? No, no, no. God's the eternal King, immortal, invisible, the only God to be honored and glorified. That's why we can place our faith and hope in him. That's what Paul wanted to remind his young disciple. This is my story. This is my song, like that old hymn. And it was reminding Timothy, this is your story, Timothy. Because just like the false teachings and the different ideas and worldviews and philosophy of Paul's day and Timothy's day, 2,000 years ago, we're dealing with all kinds of ideas and religions and philosophies today. And just think about this. All roads don't lead to the same place. That's a bizarre thought for a lot of our culture today, isn't it? But if you were to put us in a room with a devout Jew, a Hindu, a Buddhist, a Muslim, a Christian, we won't agree on who God is, right? Because Christianity is exclusive, singular, it's simple, it's deserving of full acceptance of this. Paul says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's the story. So Paul wrote his young disciple Timothy, this is your story, Timothy. You must decide whether or not this gospel is worth fighting for. Hold on to your faith, Timothy. Show and tell of God's amazing grace, because people need this hope. So I want to close with this. Do you know who this God is? Do you worship him? Is this your story? Have you fully accepted God's rescue plan? And like Paul's testimony, do you know who you are in Christ? Do you know who you were before Christ? And do you know why you have been saved? I would even say just where you're at today, with your small group, with your family, by yourself, could you write down in a paragraph or two your story using the same, you know, logic of who I am in Christ, who I was before Christ, why I've been saved in Christ? Because we're living in a rare window of time, aren't we? Where people are asking questions, looking for hope, looking for community, looking for love and grace and mercy. And your story of hope makes all the difference. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, this is your word. And it's alive and active today. And so, Lord, as we consider our story of salvation, may we just be fired up because of hearing and interacting with your word today. May we be fired up to share our story with a longing world that needs hope. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thanks, Sterling Bream, for inviting me to be a part of your local church fellowship here online. And we so look forward to a continued partnership with you in the months and years to come with Maranatha Bible Camp. Have a great day.